Now, school has begun for our young people in Colonial Christian. I understand the public school is already underway, and we have college students that are heading out soon to begin college. And so I thought tonight would be a good time to bring a message about God's school. You know, sooner or later, as a Christian, you're going to go through God's school. And Moses went through the Lord's school, and Moses learned some very vital lessons. And the story is recorded in Exodus chapter 2. I want to begin reading in verse 21, Exodus 2, 21. Now, this is after Moses has killed the Egyptian. He has fled from Pharaoh. And the Bible says in Exodus 2, 21, "And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land." Then would you look down in chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back side of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'll teach us some valuable lessons about your school for us. Lord, there are probably some folks here tonight. They're in school. Some have been to school under God. Some, it is coming. But help us, we pray, to learn the lessons you have for us and to realize why God sometimes puts us through these schooling times. So we pray your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I believe this passage shows us the method that God uses to prepare us to serve him. Moses is in school. Now, it doesn't sound like he's in school. Moses is in a desert. It's no way attractive. Now, the desert here is not the desert that some folks might leave in January and February, Indiana, and go down to the desert, down to Phoenix or something like that. It's not that. It's the desert in July and August. It's not Palm Springs. It's Death Valley. And Moses was in the desert, barren, heat, lifeless, threatening, non-productive. It's very interesting. The word desert in chapter 3, verse 1 is the Hebrew word Midbar, M-I-D-B-A-R, Midbar. It comes from the Hebrew word to speak. I thought that was interesting. What does God do in the desert? He speaks to us. And it's in the desert times of our lives that God often speaks to us. It's where God communicates with us. Now, the thought here is we would not hear what God had to say if it were not for the desert. Sometimes we have to go to the desert to hear God speak. And God takes everything from us that we hold dear. And then in that place, God speaks to our heart. Now, hold your place in Exodus tonight. We're going to come back there in a moment. And go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Just a couple of books over. Deuteronomy 32, and I'll give you a moment to find it. Deuteronomy 32, you'll notice the heading says, "The Song of Moses." Deuteronomy 32. Verse 10. "And he found him in a desert land." Now, the word "found him," actually, it is "found for him." He found for him. It's not that God was looking for him. It wasn't that God found him there. God found for him a desert. And God finds for us a desert. Your desert could be caring for aged parents. And that's your desert. And you are looking at a long time and you're looking at no relief. Your desert could be confinement of having preschoolers at home and you can't do what you used to do. Your confinement could be ill health and you realize you're not going to get any better. Your confinement could be a personal shattering of the dreams that you had. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be death. It could be divorce. And all of those become a desert. It could be moving away to an unfamiliar land. It could be a boring, thankless job. And tomorrow morning when the alarm clock goes off, you've got to go back again. It could be the loss of a job. A desert could be a child who's become wayward. And all that you say just doesn't seem to do any good. It could be having no job. And I've only scratched the surface of what a desert might be. And it says God found for him a desert. That is, God found the right place for him. Your desert is different from my desert. But God finds a desert to meet your needs. And God is building your life. And God is building the qualities. And God is building the character. And God has you in a place where he can talk to you. Because what happened in the desert? God came to Noah, or Moses. God came to Moses in the burning bush. And that's the next few verses of chapter 3. Look in verse 10. Of Deuteronomy 32. He found in a desert land, in a waste and howling wilderness. Wind, animals, waste, alone with sand and heat. You say you're drawing a pretty desolate picture. I intend to. But God does that. Have you ever had the feeling that God is gone? Where is God? Have you ever had the feeling, here I am trying to do what's right and go to church and have my devotions, but I just seems like things are barren. I'm forgotten. I'm not being used. I have no ministry. It doesn't seem there's a place for me. Well, what did God do? In verse 10, he found him in the desert land, in the waste wilderness. He led him about and he instructed him. And he kept him as the apple of his eye. There are three things here. He led him about. He instructed him. And he kept him, or he protected him. God, even in this time, God was working. Even in this time of seeing barrenness, God was directing. A desert can be a mate who doesn't understand your heart to serve the Lord. And who kind of drags you back. A desert can be a child who's brought grief to your heart. A desert can be many things. But remember, God has not left you in the desert. When Moses was in the desert, God had not forgotten him. More than ever, God was close to him. God was leading, and God was instructing, and he was the apple of his eye. And the apple of the eye is an idiom that talks about the most protected place in the eye, the pupil of the eye. And God was looking after him. Now look back in Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 2. Here's another reference to the desert. Deuteronomy 8, 2. And here's why God puts us in the desert. Deuteronomy 8, 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Number one, to humble thee. Number two, to prove thee. And number three, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. To humble thee, because we are so proud. Don't you imagine Moses was pretty proud when he got down there? He had been trained in all of the knowledge of Egypt. He was probably a general in the army. And Moses was so big, and now he's taking care of sheep. And God tested him. You test something to find out its strength and find out its weaknesses. And he wanted to know him. It's not that God wanted to know. It's so that Moses would know about himself. God knows all about you. God knows how strong you are, and God knows your weak parts. The trouble is you don't know how strong you are and how weak you are. And so God puts you in the wilderness so that you will learn just what you are like. You remember the old song we sing? When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. See, God doesn't put you in the desert to ruin you. God puts you in the desert to refine you. Now, let's go back to Exodus. Those are some verses to kind of set the stage for what I want us to see here. Exodus 2, and look in verse 15. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, that is, Moses killed one of the Egyptians, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. Now, the desert of Midian was at the back side of the world. It was as far away from civilization as you could get. It was desolate. It was barren. There were not even any shrubs there. Rocks and cliffs. Have you seen pictures of the moonscape? That would be what it was like. And Moses is going to get his BD degree here. Backside of the desert. Moses is going to get a BD degree. Moses didn't come back here as a tourist. He didn't come with a camera to take pictures of the rock formations. He didn't come as an archaeologist to find out what kind of rocks they were. Moses came here to live. Have you ever been in a place and you said, boy, I am glad I don't live here? Now, you've been in a place like that. That's where Moses was. He was in a place that if you went there, you would say, boy, I'm glad I don't live here. But Moses gets there and he unpacks his suitcase and he realizes he's going to say the location in verse 15 is the desert of Midian. The vocation is in verse 21. He was content to dwell with the man. And Moses is going to be a shepherd. He's going to live in the land. Now, remember, here's a man who was trained in the greatest knowledge of Egypt. All of the knowledge of Egypt. All of the superior. They had a superior civilization. And Moses was trained in that. Moses was going to be the next ruler in Egypt. And now he's on the backside of the desert, living with his in-laws and taking care of sheep. Now that's a desert. That is a desert. Moses learned to be a father, a husband. In fact, the Bible says he was given a wife and they had a baby. Nothing can humble a PhD like a baby. You know, a PhD may have all kinds of degrees, but he still needs a lesson on how to change diapers. And have you ever seen a PhD feed a baby and get the stuff all over the baby's face? You know, a PhD can tell you the process of making the baby food. And the PhD can tell you how the food is digested, but getting the spoon in the mouth is another story. And so here is Moses, trained in warfare and trained in all of the things of Egypt, and here he is feeding a baby. And in this desert, Moses learns things he never thought he would learn. Now, there are four things he learned. That's what I want to show you tonight. The four things that Moses learned. Four courses of study. Now, you young people, you're in college and or high school, and you're taking science and you're taking algebra, some of you, and you're taking maybe history and you're taking English, I hope, and you're taking some music and you're taking all of these lessons. All right, here are the lessons Moses had. Lesson number one was obscurity. Moses had a course in obscurity. Moses learned to be a nobody. Josephus, the great historian, tells us Moses was the commander of the Egyptian army. If so, he was one of the highest men in all of Egypt. And Moses spent the first 40 years of his life being somebody. I mean, when Moses walked in, everybody stood at attention. When Moses walked in, everybody knew who he was. That's the first 40 years. The next 40 years, he's going to learn how to be nobody. And the last 40, he's going to learn what God can do with a nobody or somebody who's learned to be a nobody. And so Moses' life is divided into three parts of 40 years apiece. Moses is in charge of the sheep. Now, you know, sheep do not regard a general. Sheep don't look at the stripes and they don't look at the bars. They're dumb and dirty and they don't listen. So here is General Moses, Commander-in-Chief Moses, out here taking care of sheep. Somebody comes along and says, "Moses, what do you do for a living now?" "Well, I'm taking care of some sheep." "Well, where do you live?" "Well, I live on the backside of the desert." "Well, what about all that training you had?" Moses said, "All I know, this is where God wants me." Now, for some Christians, obscurity is a great struggle. We like to be in the limelight. We like to be bragged on. We like for people to notice us. We like for people to notice what we have done. And we will say, "Lord, send me anywhere. Just don't send me into obscurity." But that's exactly where God sent him. And so lesson number one for Moses was a lesson in obscurity. Moses had to learn contentment in obscurity. Now, the second lesson was a lesson in time. A lesson in time. How long was Moses there? 40 years. How many here are 40 and under? Let's see your hand. All right. My, that's great. I won't ask how many are over 40. Obviously, it's the rest of you. But anyway, just think. Moses was in the desert longer than you've been alive. 40 years. And God planned the length. God planned it. God knew how long he wanted him here. And God knew it was going to take 40 years. We live in a day of instant things. I mean, we want it to happen right now. We go through the fast food and we come there. We want to make our order, pay it, and pick it up and go. We want our buildings up right now. Somebody's building a house. They want it up now. In communication, we've become so fast in communication. But I want to tell you something. There's no instant growth in the Christian life. Still today, there's no instant growth. If you're going to grow as a Christian, it's going to take time. And if you're going to be the kind of person God wants you to be, it's going to take time. We get in a hurry, but God doesn't. We get in such a rush, but the Lord doesn't. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So Moses had a lesson in obscurity. He had a lesson in time. And he had another lesson in solitude. In solitude, chapter 3, verse 1, Moses was kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back side of the desert. Now, you talk about something the 21st century does not want. It is silence. I was kind of amused. We watched a little bit of the Olympics. And here are these guys waiting to go into the pool and start racing. And you know what they got? They got an iPod in their ear. I mean, right until the last moment, they got something going. It used to be Walkmans, but that's old-fashioned now. Now it's the iPod, now it's the MP3s. Why? Because you got to have noise. You got to have something going. You get in your car, first thing you do, before you turn the crank on, you turn the volume on. Get the radio going. You walk in the house, you got to have some noise going. Now, silence is still golden. And you know the great people of the Bible were people who knew what it was to be in solitude. David, out alone, lifted up his eyes and said, "When I consider the heavens and the works of thy hands, what is man that you're mindful of him?" How about Paul? 3 years in exile. You think he had a iPod with him? You think Paul down in the jail said, "Hey, be sure and bring my Walkman"? No, Paul was in a jail in Arabia. How about John on Patmos? Exiled in Patmos. How about Elijah by the brook? For years, every day, the ravens bringing him food. But all of these people learn a valuable lesson about being alone with God. And I hope you've learned the importance of getting alone with God, shutting out the world, shutting out everything, and just getting with the Lord. So Moses' lesson was obscurity, time, solitude, and the fourth lesson, the fourth course, was discomfort. Discomfort. It says he was on the backside of the desert. Now, it doesn't say he was there for 40 years, but he was. Now, that's 40 summers when it was hot, really hot, burning hot. And then 40 winters. Have you been in a desert in the wintertime? And Moses is out there for 40 long years. But it took that. It took that for Moses to get rid of all the pride and get him used to the obscurity and get him used to the time, getting used to the solitude and get him used to the discomfort. But then after 40 years, then Moses was ready to serve God. See, God sees our pride and he says, all right, you need some obscurity. God sees our fear and he says, well, you need some time to learn how to trust me. God sees our bitterness and he says, well, you need some solitude so that you will release your rights and trust in me. God sees that we are comfortable and he says, you need some discomfort. Now, the normal reaction is to say, Lord, I don't need this. Lord, you don't know how good I am. Lord, you don't know. You don't know. Now, my wife needs it, but not me. My kids need it, but not me. I have some friends that need it, but Lord, not I. And then we say, Lord, I'm impatient. I've been here so long. I've been in the desert for 40 years. I don't even remember what the other side looks like. And then finally we say, Lord, I accept it. You know, I think Moses at this point was ready to spend the rest of his life in the desert. He didn't know what God was going to do. He didn't know the burning bush was going to appear. And God was going to call him into service. And for the next 40 years, he'd be taking care of the children of Israel. He didn't know that was coming. I think at this point, chapter 3, verse 1, Moses was ready to spend the rest of his life here. Then he was at the place where God could use him. I met an old preacher one time. And I asked the question, where did you go to school? He smiled. He said, my school was the school of experience. It's not a bad school. Have you been in the school of the desert? Have you learned obscurity? Have you learned the lesson of time? Have you learned the lesson of solitude? Have you learned the lesson of discomfort? Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I'm in school right now. Okay, then learn the lesson. Maybe you say, Pastor, I've been to that school. I know what you're talking about. But maybe you'll say, Pastor, I'm just not really sure what you're talking about. Well, get ready, because God's going to put you in school. And then when God gets all done, God will say, all right, now the burning bush comes. Now the call of God comes. Now God can use you like he wants to.